caliber with ammunition that pancaked and tumbled for maximum damage. There was nothing about this mess to give Rapp any assurance that things would be fine, but this last little twist cracked open the door on something he didn't want to consider. Rapp set the troubling thought aside for a second, tried to imagine how it had gone down. The early signs pointed toward a well-coordinated assault. The perimeter security had been breached. Phone line cameras, motion sensors, heat sensors, and even the pressure pads had all been taken offline. The backup connection through the satellite dish on the roof had also been disabled. Whoever had attacked the safe house had the knowledge and skill to hit the place without setting off a single alarm and alerting the quick reaction force less than a mile away at the airbase. According to the experts at Langley, this was never supposed to happen. 4 years earlier, they had claimed the safe house was impregnable against any threat that the Taliban or any other local group could come up with. Rapp had told those same experts that they were full of shit. He'd never seen an impregnable safe house for the simple reason that people had to come and go. As with most CIA safe houses, this one was intentionally bland. There was no American flag flown out front, and there were no snappy Marines standing post to the main gate. This was a black site where the more unpleasant aspects of the war had been coordinated. Langley didn't want any official records of the comings and goings of the drug dealers, warlords, arms dealers, local politicians, police, and Afghan army officers who were on the take. The house looked like your run-of-the-mill, two-story blockhouse in Jalalabad. There were quite a few upgrades that made it unique, but from the outside, it looked dingy and run down just like all the other houses in the neighborhood. The cinder block wall that surrounded the property was coated with a special resin designed to prevent it from exploding into a million pieces and shredding the house in the event of a car bomb. The simple-looking front door contained a 1-inch steel plate and a reinforced steel frame. All of the windows were bulletproof plexiglass, and the high-tech security cameras and sensors were concealed so as not to attract the attention of the neighbors. Langley had even taken the unusual precaution of buying the houses on each side and moving in the bodyguards and their families, all to protect one man. Joe Rickman was the most cunning and brilliant operative Rapp had ever worked with. They'd known each other for 16 years. At first, Rapp didn't know what to think of him. Rickman was pure vanilla. There wasn't a single physical characteristic about him that was memorable. At 5'10", he was neither tall nor short. His mousy brown hair matched his dull brown eyes, and his weak chin completed the bland lines of his roundish face. On the rare occasion that you heard him speak, he was never animated, and his voice was pure monotone, the kind of thing that could put the most restless baby to sleep. Rickman's forgettable face allowed him to blend in, and those who met him were almost underwhelmed by his presence. For Rickman, that was just fine. Much of his success was built on fools underestimating him. He'd worked for the CIA for 23 years, and it was rumored that he had never set foot inside headquarters. Only a few months earlier, Rapp had asked him if the rumor was true. Rickman responded with a soft smile and said that he'd never been invited. At the time, Rapp took the comment as a self-deprecating attempt at a little levity. Later, he realized Rickman was dead serious. Rickman was one of those people who were tolerated only during tough times, usually war. For the last 8 years, he'd run America's clandestine war in Afghanistan. More than $1 billion in cash had passed through his hands. Most of it was used to bribe people into playing on the right team, but a fair amount of the money was used to kill enemies and for a laundry list of other unpleasant things that went with the territory. People back at Langley didn't want to know what Rickman was up to. They only wanted results, and that was something Rickman was exceedingly good at. Underneath Rickman's bland facade was a cunning mind that was perfectly suited to the duplicitous, infinitely complicated world of espionage. Rapp understood the tinge of fear in his boss's voice when she'd called him a little over 2 hours ago. When the morning guards showed up, they had discovered the bodies and the absence of Joe Rickman, and had immediately alerted John Hubbard, the CIA's Jalalabad base chief.